Welcome to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm Rob Shooter. It's Monday, which means our friend Garrett Vogel from C100 is joining us. Garrett, are you there?
Hello, Rob Shooter. Yes, I am ready to go. How was your weekend?
lovely. Busy. We have a lot of gossip to talk about, including some Golden Globes, which we'll get to a little bit later. But let's start the show. Hey, what time is it, my friend? It is
tea time. Monday tea time.
It is indeed. So Emmanuel Archow is going to replace Chris Harrison at After the Final Rose. So ABC announced that Emmanuel is going to take over as the host just for After the Final Rose at the moment. They're saying no more than that. This news comes after The Bachelor host Chris Harrison stepped aside temporarily due to the backlash from his, quote, uninformed and, quote, unacceptable interview he did with Extra with Bachelorette Rachel Lindsay. So, Emmanuel, I've had my eye on him for a long time. He's the author of the 2020 bestseller Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man, which I think is also a TV show, a YouTube. That's so, right. What do you think about the choice?
It's interesting how they played this out. Now, I know the Final Rose is right around the corner and they needed to find that, you know, fill-in host. But to announce it on like a Saturday night is weird. You know what I mean? Like, why are they that desperate that they need to announce it on a Saturday night? Or maybe they're taping it on Sunday. But it was weird on that. I think they have a good choice, especially since there's been such an uproar of how The Bachelor and Bachelorette has been predominantly white. So I think it'll be a good change. Now, what we will see, I think, and you can agree, Rob Shooter, we're going to have a lot of those that aren't able to change with time. They'll be like, this is atrocious. But I think it's something that you need. We need to kind of shake the cage a little bit and change things up for a show that's been going on for 20 years.
I hit the phones to get some scoop, and what I found out is the three final women, Brie, Michelle, and the very controversial Rachel, will be part of this also too. It's really going to focus on Matt James, the first Black Bachelor. Emmanuel wants to sit with him and really discuss what went on, what's going to go on from now on. Also too, what's going to happen with the franchise. Interesting. TV sources are telling me this is like an audition. If Emmanuel does a great job and the ratings are good, they probably will be, could he replace Chris Harrison full time? Is this an audition? Chris is not stupid. He's been in TV a very, very long time. This could be the end of Chris Harrison. What do you think, Garrett?
I could see that too. But again, you know, 20 years, it's, you know, it's not like the days of The Price is Right and he's Bob Barker hosting the show for 95 years. You know, it's, we need a little change from every now and then. We talked about it last week too, Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
Need a little change to get a little boost,
right.
You know? So maybe this is the boost that The Bachelor, you know, it's funny, like they refer to it as Bachelor Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Like the show needs a change. The Bachelor Nation has been the same people in this nation for 20 years.
Right.
So
there is a lot of them, but we want a big tent here. And as you did say, Dancing with the Stars went through a massive change with their host, Tyra, got those ratings up. Do you think, and there's some discussion about this, I don't think there's a conclusion yet, but should Chris Harrison come on the show and talk to Emmanuel? Should Emmanuel literally interview Chris about what's going on? Because Chris is part of this story, a big part of the story.
Oh, it's a ratings. You know, if you're a suit at ABC, you would just die for an interaction like that, because there's many questions still to be asked that haven't been answered, and why not? But if Chris Harrison on the other side, I think, is just going to fade slowly into the bushes and just, you know, hide or go away for a while just to until this passes over,
right.
Really. That's what I think. But I do think he should be on the show.
It could be wild, couldn't it? It is going to be an uncomfortable conversation, I think, but I think it's one that we have to have. I'm told, too, that Emmanuel is literally producing this as well. He's coming with no strings. So the only reason he signed up to do this is if he got complete edit control, complete artistic control. There's nothing off the table. So anything that he wants to ask, producers at The Bachelor have told him he can ask just that. Which brings us to our poll question of the day. Emmanuel is replacing Chris Harrison at After the Rose. Do you think it's a good choice or a bad choice? Go vote on our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob. Our Facebook page is Naughty Gossip. You can leave a comment there. And be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. Garrett Love, what are you working on?
Yes, and by the way, Michael Strahan should watch his back because he's not the only lovable football player in the ABC family anymore.
Do you know, we reported on the show, Garrett, that Michael was on their shortlist. They did want Michael Strahan, and so I think they've made an excellent choice. Hey, go vote and we'll give you your results tomorrow.
All right, so some happy news. Lady Gaga, her two bulldogs that were stolen just last week are safe and sound.
Thank goodness.
They're not back in Lady Gaga's hands yet. I'm sure she's looking to get home as soon as possible just to see them. But we heard the story when they were looking for the bulldogs that Lady Gaga would give $500,000 to whoever helps return the bulldogs. Well, someone, a mystery lady, helped, we don't know who she is, helped get the dogs back. They were looked to be valued around $10,000 each, and Lady Gaga said, you know what, $500,000, that's how much I love my dogs. I believe Kojoy and Gustav were her two dogs that were stolen, and her third one, too, Miss Asia, escaped, luckily. But it's interesting to see, like, now that we see how the story played out, the dog walker is going to hopefully be okay. Lady Gaga's paying for the dog walker surgery. She's going to pay this woman. It's interesting. Will this woman accept $500,000 or just say, no, I'm glad they're safe. See you later.
Wow.
But seeing the other side of it, how news picked up the story. Like, it turns out these dogs probably weren't targeted. These two lowlives just really, you know, didn't know what they were doing and tried to steal two dogs. So there are many weird things about this story, but all in all, glad that the two dogs are safe and sound, soon to be back in mom's hands. And, you know, it's just so weird. And, like, seeing news stories being reported about how dog walkers in L.A. are taking karate classes now. Like, it's one of those stories that you're going to see a lot of and then all of a sudden go away.
Yeah, I think so. Although this is really, really painful. When those dogs were stolen, for me, it was absolutely heartbreaking. And initially, cops did believe, they did think she was being targeted. I'm glad that the dogs are back. I'm glad that the dog walker is doing well. And I do think now we are going to see people really be more aware of walking their dogs. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? But when you walk your dog, it's awful to think that you could open to an attack. When I see people tie their dogs up outside stores, it absolutely gives me chills. I would never do that to little Darby. So let's all just keep a closer eye on all our loved ones. There are some bad people out there. I'm really, really happy, though, that these puppies are back with Lady Gaga. And just as importantly, I'm happy Ryan, who's her dog walker. Friends of mine know him, and they say he's just the nicest guy. He's the hero of this story, trying to save those dogs. Hey, Garrett, let's get to the Golden Globe. So Tina Fey and Amy Poehler did not want to talk about politics last night. They said it was not the venue. I think they were probably right on that. Let's go through some of the moments in the show. I thought the opening monologue was so much fun. These two were on different coasts. Tina was here in New York. Amy was out in Hollywood. It just goes to show you the chemistry between these two is so great. They don't even need to be in the same room. Did you enjoy the two ladies?
And it shows that when you have the right pairing, it works. It doesn't matter that they're over on the other side of the country. Right. As long as you have good chemistry, kind of like this podcast, it works. You know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't that awkward, like, okay, now you go or I go. Like, timing was impeccable. The jokes were spot on because it wasn't just about, you know, shows. They made fun of the Hollywood foreign press, too, you know? And, like, they stayed poignant on topic. I had a lot of fun.
I did, too. I really do like those two. Now, one of the worst things about the show, but it's also probably the best too, was all the technical glitches. It didn't go quite as well for several other people. When people were accepting awards, their mics were on mute. There was a few technical glitches along the way. But for me, After I got over being annoyed, I started to enjoy it, and it made me laugh. Right. And celebrities are just like us. It's very difficult getting on a Zoom call. Jodie Foster and her dogs made me laugh. That was such a fun moment.
You know what's interesting about Jodie Foster, too? So she thanked Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And the reason why she did that, because when Aaron Rodgers won his award for the NFL, he randomly thanked Jodie Foster. So like a fun little behind-the-scenes joke there that she kind of like continued on.
I love that. I also love too that she finally acknowledged her wife. I think about 10 years ago on the Golden Globe, she teased that she might in fact be gay. She never quite said it. This is the first time she said the wife word. So that was lovely to see. I loved Mark Ruffalo's children making a cameo running in. And I gotta say, one of the big moments of the night, and it's blowing up Twitter, is Jason Sudeikis. He might be the first person to ever accept a Golden Globe wearing a hoodie, which I sort of...
By the way, Ted Lasso, very, very good. If you haven't seen Ted Lasso, it's on Apple TV, Rob Shooter. You need to see it. It's a lot of fun. It goes unnoticed because it's on Apple TV. Mm-hmm. But if you have a chance, watch Ted Lasso. A lot of fun, a lot of heart. And it's about football. Your football, not my football.
British. He's an American in London. And it really is lovely. I predicted it actually would win over Schitt's Creek, which was not the case. But he did win Best Actress. And another lovely moment, too. I thought Jane Fonda is a class act. A, she looks incredible. And I think the fact that she showed up, she didn't Zoom, she turned up in LA at the Beverly Hilton Hotel to accept her big honor. I thought it was a really fun night. These award shows, they are long. And the problem I think now going forward with awards, particularly these type of awards, is we don't experience them as a big group anymore. Everything in entertainment has become so niche. It's so small now. There's no one big movie like Titanic that the whole world sees. We all watch our own entertainment, which I think is a good thing, but it means that when we give out awards, a lot of the big winners, I didn't know, Garrett.
You know what it feels like? It feels like the Grammys. Remember, you would watch the Grammys and the best new artist would win and be like, Who's this person? Adele just sold 45 million copies. Why did blah, blah, blah just win, you know? And it seems very similar to that. You know, I was thinking as I was watching the Golden Globes last night, it could be fun as we're getting accustomed to Zooms and breakout rooms, and they should put the celebrities as they were if at a table with a bunch of people in a Zoom room. You know what I mean? And then that will be the table, and you know it'll be cool because if you're a fan, you could be at the table with Jason Sudeikis, and then all of a sudden he gets to win, and you're featured on TV, and it makes it more about the fan as opposed to just the actor.
Right,
you
bring
know?
The audience in too. Talking of the audience, I had a few sources actually in the room last night.
That is so funny. You have sources at the room because the room was so small.
I don't want to reveal who they are because there was not that many there. But there were, you know, a lot of production people. There was some people in the audience. Guess who the crowd was the most excited to see? And this makes perfect sense. Christopher Maloney from CSI.
SVU. From Law and Order, SVU.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
He's coming back, apparently. And it made sense.
I can't wait.
That this show is a big, still network show that gets millions and millions of viewers rather than these really specific shows that I love, like Schitt's Creek, that doesn't get that many viewers. So it's interesting still. There are big celebrities out there that I think we can all enjoy.
Let me tell you why, Rob Shooter. Everybody loves Kristen Maloney. So he was on Law and Order for like forever years. And it was almost just like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, the perfect pairing, you know. And then all of a sudden he left the show because he wanted to get into acting. I get it. He wanted to do featured films. Didn't really work out. So it's like he's coming back home, but he gets his own spinoff show. And it's going to be on NBC. I cannot wait for it.
I've got a little spoiler. You know. Be careful. Friends of mine know him. And they said that when he left, it was quite ugly because the negotiations to renew his contract didn't do very well. But now, all these years later, they must have paid him a ton of money. But what's changed is that his life as the character has changed. So on the show, he plays sort of like, I think the foundation, the basis of his character was this very happily married man with children, a good guy. I think that might have changed. I'm not saying any more. Which might make him available to date, which is what we've always wanted.
That's called a crossover episode right there.
I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it could. Quickly, Garrett, before we go to break, what's Melissa Rivers saying about the red carpet?
So it's interesting how you're talking about how the shows need to change over time. And Melissa Rivers pretty much says the death of the red carpet is here. Real. You know, it was slowly leading up to it. And, you know, you have been on red carpets. I have been on red carpets. And we kind of get it to where it's not the same as when her mom, Joan Rivers, you know, pretty much ran the red carpet. She was the one that invented the red carpet arrivals, pretty much, where, you know, the famous question of who are you wearing? And that has kind of shifted, you know, with, as she pointed, as Melissa Rivers pointed out, with, you know, Ask Her More, you know, with women on the red carpet and the Me Too movement. And it's kind of the red carpet has just fallen to step and repeats, where the, you know, artist or actor and actress stands in front of a wall with, you know, all the same logos behind it, and they smile. Then you see it up on, you know, Us Weekly or Naughty But Nice, and it's kind of just become a thing. So, you know, the red carpet could be non-existent.
She's onto something. So she told the New York Post, quote, "I think the red carpet has been on life support for quite a while, sadly." She also added, and I think this is part of it, "Everyone looks too perfect. So now the fashion business, the red carpet business, it's too much business and not enough personality. These hosts, these presenters are paid money to wear those clothes. Nobody picks out their own clothes anymore. Stylists, assistants, designers. It's almost like a $1 billion industry. And because of that now, it's not as much fun. I want to see what you would want to wear, not what your stylist would pick out. Like, I want to see, Garrett, what would you pick out to wear for a big award show?
I'm very, like, definitely a suit. Like, I would go to Macy's and get the best fitted suit possible. maybe a little bit underfitted, so it would look like I need to work. No, because I would get underfitted, because it would make me look like I worked out more than I needed to.
Little
so,
tight suit. You'd look marvelous in anything. Be right back. Welcome back to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm Rob Schuller. Our friend Garrett is with us. Hey, Garrett, let's get to the polls. Da, da, da. So Lady Gaga increased her security, not just for herself, but her family and her friends, after the vicious attack on her dog, Walker. We asked, do you think it was connected or a coincidence? Oh, we just talked about this at the top of the show. Wow, 74% think it's connected. Actually, it doesn't look like it was. It looks like it was a horrifying, random, despicable act. It doesn't look like it was connected to Gaga. Hey, don't forget to vote on today's poll on our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob. Our Facebook page is Naughty Gossip. You can leave a comment there. And be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. And now it's time for our nicest of the day.
Yes. All right. So, Rob Schuller, you've actually talked about this before, loving yourself, the fact of accepting who you are. So, Jonah Hill has gotten this a lot throughout his career. You know, oh, he's gained weight, he's lost weight, he's funny, he's not funny, you know, depending on the size of his body. So, over the weekend, the Daily Mail, they posted a picture of Jonah Hill, you know, in a wetsuit. And, you know, Jonah said, you know what, I'm sick of hiding. You know, I wore a T-shirt in the pool up until the age of 30. I'm 37 years old and realized, hey, love yourself. I did this for the kids that wear shirts in the pool. You know, it's okay. Have fun. And goes, it's for the kids who don't have their shirt off at the pool. Have fun. You're wonderful. You're awesome and perfect. All my love. I thought it was a very inspirational, you know, don't care about anybody else but yourself. So credit to Jonah Hill for speaking up.
I love Jonah Hill for doing this. Hey, you're the nicest of the day. And our naughtiest of the day, naughty, 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 is Bachelor Nation out there. So Rachel Lindsay has deleted her Instagram account after harassment from members of Bachelor Nation. So she's getting really vile, or was getting vile messages. And now she's deleted her entire account. She just doesn't want to be part of this. She's away from this. This makes me sad. It's bullying. Rachel did an amazing interview and exposed a lot of truth. It was uncomfortable. Yes, it was. Might it change?
She did the interview with Chris Harrison,
yes.
Correct?
Might it change how we feel about The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Yes, but she only told the truth. Sometimes the messenger is the one that always gets into trouble. But Rachel here, you did great, great work. Hey, let's do a moment of Rob Garrett. We got some time for a moment. Rob, you get a Rob,
you get a Rob.
A little trip to my life. So I think of my life, this is true, as a TV show. And I break it down into hour-long episodes. Beginning of the hour, it's a new episode, and this little trick means that I cannot procrastinate for very long. So every hour, at the top of the hour, you start fresh.
No, I think that's interesting. I would be more like a half hour sitcom.
Even better. Like, you can start over whenever you want. You don't have to wait for New Year's Eve when that clock strikes 12. I literally start over every hour. So if I'm in a bad mood and it is 6:49, at 7 o'clock I reset my life. And then I do it again at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And then throughout the day I constantly reset, and it makes it refreshed. It makes me happy. I think it's a good trick.
I would binge that show on Netflix.
We get stuck in a rut, don't we? Sometimes we get stuck in a rut. If you upset me in this hour, which you wouldn't, Garrett, but if you did, at the top of the hour, I start fresh. So it's a great way of like moving on. Try it. Give it a little try today. Look at your watch, and every time the hour starts, refresh. Look at that.
I definitely will. And it's a good way to look at life in general. But I'm going to try it and get back to you.
Let's talk next week, see if it works. Reset every hour. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening to the Naughty But Nice with Rob and Garrett show, a production of iHeartRadio. Don't forget to subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. Leave us a review if you can. And all together now, remember, if you're going to be naughty,
you've got to be nice.
Take care, everybody. Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.
It's Naughty But Nice with Rob.